read this parable in Luke chapter 13 that Jesus delivered to the Jews, we recognize that it is for the purpose of emphasizing to the Jews themselves the need for them to bear fruit. It's focused at them because they were not doing the things that God would have them to do because they were Jews. They were God's chosen people, yet they were not living in accordance with the will of God. And this parable presented to the Jews by Jesus was for the purpose of impressing upon them that they were supposed to be producing fruit for God. But I want us to consider that the fruit God was expecting from these Jews was not more Israelites. The fruit that God and Jesus was expecting from the Jews was a more spiritual life, a greater focus on God. Now, that would likely lead to there being proselytes from time to time. But the fruit that God wanted from Israel was the fruits of righteousness, like we read about in the book of Galatians and elsewhere in the writings of Paul and Peter and the teachings of Jesus. We know this because when we look at the things that Jesus teaches the Jews in Matthew chapter 5 about how to be citizens of the kingdom, He doesn't tell them, go out and make more Jews. He tells them, change your behavior. So when we talk about bearing fruit for God this morning, or actually as we're going to approach it this morning, not bearing fruit, we're talking about ourselves, the fruit that will be visible in our life. And the question that we asked this morning, am I fruitful? And I need to tell you, when I do these lessons, and I was conversing with our daughter Rachel just a little bit as I was cleaning up my outline and all, and I told her, I said, I've changed the way I word these questions. Outlines like this used to say, are you bearing fruit? Or are you fruitful? But the more time I spend in the Word of God, the more time I spend teaching others, the more I remind myself that I'm teaching me as much as anyone else. And so these questions are asked from a personal standpoint, and I want you to do the same. Am I fruitful? Because while this parable was presented to Jews, the principles that are taught in this parable apply to us today. And that's how we want to consider it. Another thing that we want to keep in mind, this is not a wild tree. This is a tree that was planted, that was placed in a vineyard for the purpose of bearing fruit, and therefore it fits our situation even that much better because we were placed into the family of God through our obedience and submission to His will. And so it is only right that we would be expected to bear fruit. And so when we look at this parable this morning and we consider what is being said by Jesus to these particular Jews that He's speaking to and thereby to all of us, the first thing that we note is this was a barren tree. This tree was not bearing fruit and therefore it was absolutely worthless to the owner. Whatever effort or cost he incurred in putting that tree in his vineyard and caring for that tree over the last 3 years, whether he did it himself or as it seems he had a vine dresser that was doing it for him, a steward over his vineyard, that had all been wasted. Because here for 3 years he has come expecting fruit and there is nothing. Unfortunately, this is a pretty good description of some who are in the church even today. Or maybe it's not that there's absolutely nothing, but there's very little fruit. Or the fruit that actually shows up is not of any use. We need to remember that we are owned by God. And He expects us to bear fruit. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. If we're not bearing fruit for God, we are not good for anything in His sight. We are no better than the gravel that people walk on in the paths. We are not useful or helpful to Him. One of the passages that has stood out to me and has caught my attention in several different instances over the past year or so is Matthew chapter 25. We're familiar with this passage. It is the passage where Jesus describes the scene of judgment. And it is a passage where we recognize and understand Jesus talks about what has been done that would allow us to enter into the kingdom of heaven and what has failed in our lives or where we have failed in our lives so that we are not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that passage tells us that He will say to those on the left, those who were set aside from the righteous, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We need to understand and recognize that God expects us to be fruitful, to bear fruit for Him. And the fruit that He expects us to bear is fruit that will benefit Him through helping others, through showing His kindness and His blessings upon those that we come in contact with each and every day of our lives. And so, as we go about wondering, am I bearing fruit for God? Let us understand that what we're talking about is things I do, characteristics of my life, and the actions that those characteristics direct me in. I think all too often, not that it's not needed from time to time, but all too often when we talk about bearing fruit, we seem to always be talking about converting others. But that's not the only fruit we read of in Scripture. In fact, I'm convinced that is the end result of bearing fruit. We're all expected to. By this my Father is glorified, Jesus told the apostles, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Paul, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice, bearing fruit in every good work. Not bearing fruit in converting souls. I'm not discounting that. That's a part of bearing fruit. But Paul says bearing fruit in every good work. The things you do are bearing fruit for the Lord. Notice what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Familiar passage to each of us. For this very reason, may every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. What makes us fruitful? Having these qualities. Faith, knowledge, virtue, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love, care and concern for our fellow man, desire to help and assist others. Am I bearing fruit for the Lord? One of, I think, the, it's not a hidden problem, but one of the problems we don't think about a lot. Most church members are not, at least those church members that won't make it to heaven, are not going to miss heaven because they were wicked, evil, terrible people. They're going to miss heaven, or maybe I should rephrase that, I may miss heaven because I was not useful to the Lord. I can be good, I cannot do any evil, but if I am not useful to the Lord, I am not bearing fruit. And if I don't have the kind of qualities that Peter talks about there in 2 Peter chapter 1, or that Paul talks about in the book of Galatians, I believe chapter 5, that we studied just not too long ago in our Wednesday night class, or elsewhere, if we don't have those fruits of the Spirit, we are not useful to the Lord. Christ doesn't expect the impossible. But it is expected that we will bear fruit. Am I a barren tree? The question that I must ask myself. If I am, cut it down. Get rid of it. It's in the way. Not only was that tree not bearing fruit, therefore it wasn't producing for the owner, it was actually hindering other good from being done. Note he says there in verse 7, why should it use the ground? Why is it taking up space? And I was reminded of a story I saw, I don't know, it's been a little while ago, of I think it was either pistachio or almond growers who were tearing out their trees that were not as productive as they needed to be because those trees were using water that would be better spent on productive trees. And that just kind of really resonated with me when I thought of that while I was studying and preparing for this lesson. Those farmers were taking an investment they had put in and removing it because it was causing more harm than good. It wasn't producing like it had before, but it still needed the same amount of water. And that water that it was using would help another tree produce better. And so they tore it out completely. Removed it. Because it was in the way. Now think about that in regard to, am I a barren tree in the family of God, in God's vineyard? Am I bearing fruit? If I'm not, I need to be cut out. Because not only am I not productive, I'm getting in the way of others being productive. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Change metaphors there, but same lesson. Of course, I've described this before using my experience with helping my uncles with their potato digging. Maybe you've experienced this situation with a bad apple and a bunch of apples that you bought. Or maybe some of you experienced it with a bad pear more recently. And some pears going around. One can destroy a whole batch. Therefore, it's best to cast out the one. If I'm a barren tree in God's vineyard, I'm of no use to Him, and I'm getting in the way of those that are of use to Him. So I need to be removed. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. It's better for us to be gone than to be hindering the work of the Lord. Now, ideally, the best thing is for us to start producing. Understand that. But because not only are we not doing good ourselves, we're hindering others from doing good, God's going to cast us out. Go over and read in those letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and he talks in there about some of the congregations. He was going to remove some of the people because they were going to cause more problems for the folks who were trying to do good. At least what we're doing is causing discouragement to others by not being an encouragement to them. We hinder others from obeying the gospel sometimes because they don't get the good influence. I'm sure at some time or another in talking to various ones through the times that we have been members of the church and striving to teach others, we've run up on those who would say, yeah, but, you know, back when I was going, old brother so-and-so, yeah, you got your own story to add to that, right? And so I can't do that. Or the church is just a bunch of hypocrites, and I don't want to be a part of hypocrites. You know what causes those kind of thoughts? There are people who claim to be church members serving the Lord who are not fruitful for God. They're not bearing spiritual fruit. And I need to make sure that I am not one of those, lest I be cut down. But as we continue looking at what this parable has to say, we find that the one who was caring for this tree said, give me just a little bit more time, one more year. You know, when I read this particular portion and I think about this, I begin to apply this vine dresser as an image of Christ speaking to the Father. Let me work with them just a little bit more. Father, don't take them now. Give them more time. Jesus wants us to be productive. He wants us to be a part of the vineyard. He's going to do whatever is possible. He's already done whatever is possible to allow us to bear fruit. Even though there was not fruit up to this time, He wanted to give us some special attention. to give it every chance. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And I sometimes wonder how many times we as trees in God's vineyard should have been cut down. And the Lord said, just a little bit longer. Just a little more time. And you know, when we apply this to us, we apply this to me and to you today, you know who's the one who's going to work with and encourage and fertilize? Me and you. If we see someone who is not bearing fruit, it is our duty to try to give them one more chance. To try to help them improve so that they can grow. So that they can begin to follow the teaching of the Apostle Peter and add to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. So that they can begin to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Or the fruit of righteousness. Just joy and peace and love and long-suffering and all of those things that are attitudes of heart, that are corrected and set right by a focus upon the will of God, upon doing what God would have us to do. That's our responsibility. And I want us to take the time to understand that this particular point in our lesson, we're not talking about some magic formula. But we're talking about if we recognize someone who is weak in the faith, someone who is not growing, who is not bearing fruit, we have a responsibility to try to help them. Every one of us has that responsibility. It's not a responsibility that's laid only on the shoulder of elders or on the shoulder of the Bible class teacher or on the shoulders of the preacher. In fact, it's not even a responsibility that's only laid on the shoulders of the parent. I realize the parent has the major responsibility. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to encourage and strengthen one another. You know, we turn over there and we read that teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs when we talk about singing rather than using instruments of music. But that teaching and admonishing one another applies whether we're talking about singing or not. We're the ones who dig around and apply the fertilizer that's needed, the Word of God. Each one of us ought to be urgent about helping those who are not bearing fruit as they should. In fact, again, an article that I read just a little bit of comes to mind about the aspen trees. They're all big one-connected organisms. You can ask a forester or somebody like that about them if you want to know more. Maybe Amy knows all about them. Jonathan. But anyway, they say they're one big organ. Their root system's all tied together. And if they find that one of the trees is not getting enough nutrients, they will sacrifice some of theirs to help that tree. At least that's what that article was saying that I was reading. And it makes sense because that's what we as Christians are. We're one big organism, aren't we? We've been studying on Wednesday night in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. One body, right? One body. Well, that means we're supposed to help one another get what we need. That's why when my stomach says I'm hungry, my eyes start looking for food and my hand starts reaching to grab. It picks up a spoon or a fork. We're responsible to help our brethren grow. We need to work as that. And when we see a weak member, we need to do what we can to strengthen. It may cost me something to do that. But it's still my responsibility to do. Sometimes there are those in a congregation that need some special attention to help them to make changes in their life. And we are the ones best set to recognize and help with that situation. Because you see, what we're wanting is for each and every one of those who are members of the body of Christ to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of waters that we read of in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What if I see that one of my brethren is lacking some knowledge and understanding? Can I divert a little bit more toward them to help them grow stronger so they will produce fruit? Can I just try a little bit harder to help them produce? Now, I can't make them produce. That's going to be up to them. But I can do everything possible to help them. And we know that the Lord is going to help. So, maybe with just one more year, just a little more time, that barren tree might become fruitful. Maybe it just needs that little nudge and assistance from somebody else. Because if it remains fruitless, it is worthless. In fact, as we mentioned a while ago, it's costly. Because it's hindering others. It's in the way. And it needs to be destroyed. Whatever does not produce of itself will die. And again, I want to emphasize this idea. If we're not producing fruit, we cannot spread the seed. If you watch gardening videos trying to learn how to plant tomatoes so you can have good tomatoes, they tell you to take a tomato and cut it up and plant it in the ground. Why? Because the seeds are in the tomato. You don't get tomato seeds unless you have a tomato. I don't care how many times you can go down to Walmart and buy a bag that says tomato seeds. You didn't get those seeds without a tomato. You can't have seed to spread unless you've borne fruit. Think about that a minute. Maybe some of our problem with converting others is we're going about it backwards. We're trying to spread the seed before we produce the fruit in our own lives. We got to make tomatoes before we get any seeds to plant. I need to be fruitful for God before I can spread the Word of God. Elsewise, at best, I'll be seen as a hypocrite, teaching one thing while living a different way in my own life. And I think that is a concept that we need to think about more. We need to be doing what we can to help one another to produce fruit in our own life. And the seed will spread. It's the law of nature. It's a universal law. It doesn't matter if you're applying it to vegetables or animals or the humans. If you don't produce fruit, you don't have any seed to spread. And God warns us throughout Scripture that the unfruitful church member will not enter heaven. I'm the vine and you are the branches, Jesus says in John 15, verse 5. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. You know what those farmers were doing with those trees they were digging up because they weren't producing enough fruit to be worth the water that it was costing? They pushed them up into big old piles and burned. That was a vivid representation of what Jesus says is going to happen here to an unfruitful part of the vine. And understand, that branch was part of the vine, but was cut off because it wasn't fruitful. It wasn't cut off because it didn't make more branches on the vine. It was cut off because its branch bore no fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Our Lord expects us to be fruitful. The kingdom of God has no place for those who do not produce fruit. You, Jesus said in John 15, 16, did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And I know that's spoken directly to the apostles. But the principle applies to us as well. As we studied in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, God chose that those who submitted to His will would be added to His family. And He expects those who are added to His family to produce fruit. One who is lazy and indifferent should not expect to attain eternal reward. I cannot spread the seed of God unless I bear fruit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. In order to bear fruit for God, I have to be in God's vineyard. I have to be placed in His domain. I do that by being obedient to His will, by submitting to the law of Christ, by giving my life wholly over to Him, confessing my belief in Jesus as the Savior, submitting myself completely to the laws and rules and regulations of the Master. I turn away from serving self and the world and give myself wholly to serve Him. And I submit myself obediently to be buried with Him in baptism so that I can rise with Him from that watery grave, a new creature. And then I live my life producing fruit for the Lord. And yes, there are more lessons coming on this. You didn't think I was going to tell you you're supposed to bear fruit and then not tell you what kind of fruit to bear, did you? I've got to bear fruit. And I think the first place we need to recognize the need to bear fruit is in our own attitudes and hearts. Change the way I think, and it'll change the way I live. And I can spread the seed of the gospel, because I will be bearing fruit for God. There's a reason Jesus told His disciples that if they loved Him, it would show the world that they were His disciples. And so we're going to look at some of those things in some future lessons. But this morning, look at yourself. Am I fruitful for God? And if not, go about setting it right. You notice that steward didn't say, well, give me 3 more years. There's a limited time for us to set things right with God. God is patient, but He won't wait forever. Go about taking the steps to correct those things today if you find things wrong in your life. And if we as a congregation can assist you with those things and getting started in that, or help you with more learning and understanding, let us know. And hopefully we will all be watching for opportunities to help one another bear fruit. But if your need is urgent this morning and we can assist, time and opportunity is yours. Why not come while we stand and sing for your encouragement?